Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. So President Biden is making news today. He unveiled a long-awaited proposal for changes to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, the president is calling on Congress to establish term limits and an ethics code for the court's nine justices. He's also pressing lawmakers to ratify a constitutional amendment that would limit presidential immunity. Joining us now on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline here on Wisconsin's Morning News is Thane Rosenbaum from CBS News. He's a CBS News legal analyst to walk through this for us. Thane, good morning. Let's start with the term limits. The idea is to not give them life on the to be able to work forever. It's let's cut this short a bit.
Yeah, I mean, but this, of course, requires an act of Congress.
Sure.
That is not a constitutional amendment. So Congress would have to essentially vote to change the article in which the Supreme Court is identified in the Constitution and change it from lifetime appointments to term limits appointments. I think they want to scatter it so that a president of the United States every single 2 years puts someone else on. I think that would be the idea, that no matter who, Democrat or Republican, they, you each get two picks during your administration. Not going to be easy lift. Not sure they have the votes. They would need at least 2/3, I believe, for that. But that's the goal there, right? The goal there is to limit their influence from lifetime appointment. Remember, what we've now seen over the last dozen years ago is we try to put people on who are very young, right, for that reason, so that we give them 30 years on the court.
Yeah.
So there are all sorts of really good people that you could put in their 60s or 70s, which frankly would, to me, make more sense, but they don't do that anymore, right? They should put someone on the court that's 75 and say, look, you know, for the next 3 years, they might be phenomenal. They've been so, you know, they're so, they have such an incredible judicial track record. But, you know, look, the Supreme Court believes in the separation of powers. And so all of this sounds good, but they're going to be heavy resistance. None of them, I think, certainly the Chief Justice, who believes in the institutional independence of the court, is going to be offended by all of this and is going to see this as a power grab.
Thane, it's interesting the timing on this, I think, because we've been hearing a lot, especially this election cycle, about the now current President Biden's age, as well as the age of other candidates in that race for the White House. And so now we have the timing on this, which would appear to try and limit how long a judge can run in. Do you think the timing is interesting, or is it purely coincidental?
No, it's definitely interesting. You know, look, Kamala Harris has to do a lot of things to win. But the most important thing to do is to guarantee that her base will show up and vote for her. And her base hates the Supreme Court, hates them beyond measure. Why? Well, Dobbs case, the abortion case, a number of rulings dealing with voting rights and the way maps, congressional maps, are drawn up in some states, especially in the South. So progressives, you know, need to be motivated. And this will motivate them. That's why you're also going to hear her say a lot of things that the pro-Israel crowd is going to hate. They're going to hate it. But they're doing it for political reasons, to shore up their base, to make sure that the same people that are, you know, if they're American citizens and vote, who are protesting on campus, show up to vote. That they're not just, you know, sleeping in campus, but they actually vote. So I just think, you know, it's not a coincidence. The question is, you know, will people resent this or think that this is a very good indication of a kind of activism that they wanted the Biden administration to already implement years ago?
A Marquette University Law School poll a couple of months ago found that more than 60% of Americans disapprove of the job the court is doing. As far as the ethics code for the court's nine justices, who would police that under this plan? Would they just be policing themselves?
Well, remember, the federal judges have an ethics code, but it doesn't, and that was already established by Congress. But it doesn't apply to the Supreme Court. The idea was that they should apply it to themselves, but they didn't. So over the last few years, Justice Roberts saw the tea leaves about this very bad polling numbers about the Supreme Court and some of these are more controversial ethics issues about, you know, lavish trips, vacations, yachts, you know, for Justice Alito and Justice Thomas, roles that their wives have played in some of this. So there was an effort by the court to create their own code. And they did. They did. But it's not even clear what's in the code. And given some of the more recent revelations about Justice Thomas and Alito, there are people who are saying, yeah, well, obviously, whatever code it is you implemented isn't expansive enough, and you're not making it binding. So let's do this again and find a way to make sure that it's binding. So that's really what they're really trying to do. But that's something that is internal to the court. And again, it's something that, you know, they've always believed we're the high court. We don't play by the exact same rules as the lower courts. And what this proposal suggests is you should, we should have the same, you know, very stringent ethics codes applied against you as we would against any other federal judge.
CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum with us on Wisconsin's Morning News. So Thane, in addition to those two, we obviously then have the third mentioned in the op-ed on making sure there is no immunity for former presidents who have been convicted of criminal activity. Now, all of this sets up very unlikely to actually go through in your mind reading the tea leaves.
Yeah, this is a really heavy lift. So remember what has to happen. First of all, the president has no role at all in constitutional amendments. He could write 1,000 op-eds. It doesn't matter. He doesn't get to pick that legislation. He doesn't have a veto power. It's not like regular legislation where the president proposes legislation, works along with Congress, retains the veto power. When it comes to constitutional amendment, he or she is out of this game. He needs to convince Congress and the Senate to create a constitutional amendment that two-thirds of each body will vote on, that will develop this kind of an amendment that, you know, strips any kind of immunity from a president for official acts taken during their presidency. That, of course, would conflict with the very same Supreme Court decision that was just made, which is essentially said, if he's engaged in official acts, he can do whatever he wants as it's official act. So that raises a constitutional crisis anyway. Like, what are you guys doing? The Supreme Court already said if it's an official act. What are you saying? So they have to find a way to make sure the Constitution, the amendment, is it different? Is it directly attack this decision of the Supreme Court? Now, after two-thirds of both houses of Congress vote such an amendment, they send it to the states, and every state legislature has to ratify it, and three-quarters of them have to do that. That's a lot. I don't know what that is. 30 states? That's a lot of states. So that's a very heavy lift. Give you an example. We haven't had a constitutional amendment since 1992.
Right.
It's not one that anyone cares about. It has to do with congressional salaries. But it's not like we do this very often, and we don't do this very often. You know, the last time we did it in a, you know, very comprehensive way was back in the 1960s with the three Civil War amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, right? But that's the 1960s, and it dealt with the sweeping change in civil rights protections for African Americans. That's a long time ago. This has the look of something huge, right? And so the question is, does Congress want any part of this? Do they have the votes for this? Republicans aren't going to vote for this because they're going to see this as a direct attack against a conservative Supreme Court that just ruled in favor of Donald Trump.
CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thane discussing President Biden's unveiling of a proposal for changes to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the president is calling on Congress to establish term limits, so it'd be 18-year term limits for the justices, and an ethics code for the court's 9 justices. So then, as you heard Thane say there, there'd be this, like, alternating every 2 years, likely, they would have it set up where a justice would then be nominated by a president. So each president would get two for the 4 years. At least that's the idea behind this plan. He's also pressing lawmakers to ratify a constitutional amendment that would limit presidential immunity. The president expected to address this situation when he is in Austin, Texas, speaking at the LBJ Presidential Library later today.